I'd like you to turn with me this evening to Luke's Gospel and to those verses that we read in Luke and chapter 9. We read in verse 57, "A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever or wheresoever thou goest." My title this evening, my subject is How Not to Follow Christ. In teaching, showing what the Bible says about what we shouldn't do, I hope it will be a help to show us what we should do. Perhaps we'll start with a question. What do you follow in life? Or perhaps better, who do you follow? In these days of social media, if you're involved in such things, it seems this word follow or follower has had somewhat of a renaissance. We all typically know what it means. Are you a follower? We see a picture, we see a profile, we see a name, we see a celebrity, and we click like or follow. It may be we don't agree with everything that that person stands for. It may be that we don't know very much about them. It may be that we just want to be in with the crowd. But at least numerically, we start to follow that individual, that profile, that celebrity. I looked it up this week. The person with the most followers on Instagram has 150 million people. I think you probably know who that is, particularly the young boys. It's the most famous footballer. 150 million followers. I don't know how many have ever met him. I should think very few. The most famous, I didn't know who it was, female pop star has 145 million followers on Instagram. An American professional wrestler has 130 million followers. Who would have thought of such a thing? What does this all mean? I'm following. I'm a follower of that person that I've never met. I'm never likely to meet. Well, perhaps it's just a meaningless relationship. We get to see their feed, as they call it. Are you a follower? Are you following something worthwhile? Are you following someone that you actually agree with? Somebody that you know? Somebody that you have a relationship with? Well, this passage is really about that, following. The Lord Jesus said those words, follow me. If you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, at least on 13 occasions, he says those two words, follow me. It's a command. It comes gently, but it comes with authority. Follow me. And we have that term here in this passage. It has a particular meaning. When the Lord Jesus Christ used these words, he was commanding an individual to leave something and to do something. You know what happened. He was walking around Galilee. He was down by the shores near Capernaum. And he bumps into some of those men, ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, Philip, Levi, Matthew, Simon Peter, and Andrew. Quite often when the Lord Jesus said those words, a crowd started to follow him. But after a while, it tells us in Luke's Gospel that some followed him and walked with him no more. I guess that's what we would call unfollow. You follow someone, and you unfollow them. They came along for the ride for a while, but something he said struck the heart. Something they didn't like. Maybe he was a bit too direct. He spoke to them about their hearts and about what they're like and about the inner life, the life of our thoughts, the things that we think about, sometimes impure thoughts, the things of the heart that we plan to do with no thought for others and no thought for God. Well, the Lord Jesus said those words to Simon Peter and Andrew, and this is what they did. Straight away, they left their nets and followed him. Matthew, who had that nasty job collecting tax for the Roman authorities, he arose and followed him. Levi, he arose and followed him. Philip, he didn't even say anything. He went to find his friend Nathanael and obeyed by what he did straight away, immediately. You see, this word follow, when we find the Lord Jesus saying it, it means this. It means to become a disciple, a follower of him. It means to leave behind our old life, our sin, the things that we once did, the things that took up all our time and attention. It means to side with him. You see, there's only two to follow. We either follow the kingdom of this earth, or we follow the kingdom of heaven. It really is as simple as that. That's what the Bible teaches. Are we earth-minded, or are we heavenly-minded? Are we thinking about another world, the world that one day will have all of God's people who've been humbled and who've come to confess their sin? This word follow means to cleave steadfastly, to stick to Christ, to love him, to obey him, to follow him, to conform our thinking to what he teaches, to follow his example, and if necessary, even, as so sadly it is in the world that we live in, even to be necessary to die for him. There are those in the world that we live in today whose faith is so strong and their following of Christ is so ardent that they would be willing to give their lives this night. Something has so possessed them and got hold of them. They're so disinterested in this world and all it has to offer that they've said, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. We were reading this afternoon about that man in the 1940s and 50s in Russia, and the KGB came. And he wouldn't come out of prison for an easy life. No, he wanted to be faithful, even at the expense of his wife and his family. Well, let's turn to these words. We've got just a few moments to look at them. There's three characters. This is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, and he just has two characters. But he gives us an additional detail. There's no contradiction between Matthew and Luke. This is God's word, it's consistent. But there's three men mentioned here. One by one by one, the Lord Jesus, as it were, bumps into them. But he knew who he was going to meet as he makes his way to Jerusalem, and he sees them. There are three P's that sum up these three men. One of the men was preoccupied by position. The second was preoccupied by possession. And the third, if we can allow ourselves alliteration, was preoccupied by prevarication. He wanted to delay, put off, excuse. So let's look at them just quickly. Verse 57, it came to pass, he went that way. Matthew tells us that the person that he bumps into is a scribe. We would call him a man of the cloth, a clergyman, somebody outwardly religious. We could call him perhaps in today's terms a vicar, somebody whose religion was on the outside, but there was no heart religion. Somebody who was an expert in teaching the first five books of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus evidently tells him to follow me. And this is his response, Lord. He doesn't call him master, rabbi. He says, Lord, it sounds very good and promising. I will follow thee. Wherever you go, I'll follow thee. Well, who are we to criticize? What a bold statement. He comes confidently and says, wherever you go, I'll be there. But the clue of what's wrong in what he said is in this famous verse, verse 58. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You see, this man was thinking that Christ had come to make a political, earthly kingdom. And he wanted to make sure that he would have the right position in that kingdom. When this kingdom is organized, you are the Messiah. You're the promised one from all the Old Testament. When you organize your kingdom, I'll be there. And maybe I'll get the right position. Maybe I'll be the one of the organizers in this great kingdom. I will follow thee. Bold, impulsive. But this man was self-centered. He was focusing on what was right for him. He thought, I can have honor, riches, I can have a status. And the Lord Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. Do you know, I don't even have a home. I don't even have a bedroom. I don't even have a pillow to put down on my head or put my head down on the pillow. There's no earth kingdom. This is about a heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. You've got it all wrong. The man, no doubt, knew. The Lord Jesus read his heart. Well, what about the second man? Verse 59. And he said unto another, this is a separate man, he says these words, I'm sure he said it on every occasion, follow me with authority, a commandment. But this man, he answers and says, Lord, allow me, give me the opportunity first to go and bury my father. What a reasonable response. You couldn't say no to that, could you? Well, until you realize that in ancient times, they had no refrigerators. If a body had died, they would bury that body within 24 or 48 hours. There was nowhere to stop the body decomposing. It's impossible to conceive that somebody would be following the Lord Jesus around when there was a dead body, if I can be so crude. At home. No, this man, he wasn't interested in burying a dead body. He was interested in going home and waiting for his father to die because he wanted to position himself for a vast inheritance. He wanted to get money and wealth, and he thought that was the secret to having happiness in life. So he says, Lord, let me first go and be in and around my Father. But the Lord Jesus again reads his heart. You see, he looks right into your heart and my heart. He reads us like a book. He knows what you're thinking now. He knows what motivates you. And he asks a penetrating question of each of us. Follow me, will you? Jesus said unto him, let the dead, well, they weren't dead, not physically, but spiritually they were dead. Let the dead bury their dead. Leave it to your family. Don't go home and wait for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You stay with me. If you really mean it, your priority from now on will be, as it says, the kingdom of God. He lays down a challenge. You go, and if you mean what you say, you go and teach and preach and stand for and declare the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of earth, where inheritance and money and possessions and wealth are what counts. That won't help. That won't give you lasting satisfaction. That won't deal with your soul's needs. No, you stay with me. But no doubt the man went home. He went to wait until his father died. But there's a third man here. This one is the prevaricator, the one who keeps putting things off. And another, verse 61, another said, Lord, sounds so good. He recognizes him again as the Messiah, the teacher, the one who has authority, the one who they were amazed as he spoke. They marveled and said, he's not like any of our teachers. Lord, I will follow thee. But there was a condition. But let me first go and say goodbye to those who are at my home. Maybe there was a party going on. Maybe he had relatives in town and he wanted to go and join in. Or maybe he wanted to say goodbye to his family. He thought it might be for the last time. It sounds reasonable. But the answer is in what the Lord Jesus says in verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, no person, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, we have what the Bible describes as a never-dying soul. That's what the most valuable part of us is. Not the body, not the mind, but the soul, which is eternal. So many people don't realize they have a soul. That's the real part of us. It's the part of us that makes us like God. We're made in God's image. And if we don't address the needs of our soul, we'll never be happy. We'll never be contented. This man, let me go home. Let me have human niceties, family affections. Oh, that's good. We're not against the family. But this is about priorities. Where will you put your heart? Where will you put your affections? You can't say 1 minute, I'll follow you, Lord Jesus. But, what's the but? What's the reason you're waiting, prevaricating, buying time, as we call it? You see, this man, in the farming analogy which the Lord Jesus uses, he wanted to plow by looking to the left and to the right and behind. You don't need to be a farmer. Some of us know farming, friends. You want to plow a straight line, you look straight ahead. You look at the furthest part of the field. And you fix your eyes on it. You don't look down. You don't look at the hedge. You don't look behind in the mirror. You look straight ahead. You forget what's behind you, your old life, the things you're embarrassed and ashamed about, the way you used to be when you were growing up. You forget those things. No man, having put his hand to the plow, wanting to plow a straight line, living a life that's righteous and pleasing to God, Nobody looks to the left and the right and down. I don't know what it is for you. For me, it was sport. Sport, sport, sport. A round ball, an oval ball, any ball. That was a distraction. It lifted up my pride. Look at me. Look what I can do. What does that count? You get old. Your knees stop working. You just have a few trophies or past badges and things to remember. The shirt that you used to fit into. But what does it count for eternity? One day we're going to die. One day our lives will be over. And our never dying soul will stand before this same Lord. The Lord that says, follow me. And he commands us to leave everything and to set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to give up everything, his life, his dignity, and go to what we call Calvary, Calvary's cross, the place that we've been singing about. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, the one who gave himself to be the Lamb of God. How should we do this? How should we follow him? Well, seven simple steps. In one way, it's so simple. In another way, it needs to be genuine and thought through. Well, the example of the disciples is it needs to be immediate. Something else will get in the way. There'll be another distraction, another book to pick up, another magazine to flick through, another channel to look at. We've got to go immediately. The fishermen left all straight away. We need to follow with no excuses. Don't say, someone's at home that needs me, or I can't do this or that. No. The Bible says, no excuses. Come as you are. Come now. And no looking back. Don't say I'm too sinful. Or don't say even worse, I'm too good. I don't need forgiveness of sin. I don't need a new life. I'm good enough. Look what I've done. Be humble. All those that followed the Lord Jesus, they left everything. They left their business, the fishermen. They left their position, the tax collectors. And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from everything else that would grab your attention. Turn to him and do what that word follow means. Cleave. Stick. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Conform your life to him. There was a wedding. The first wedding, you know this. That wedding where the Lord Jesus turned water into wine. The first public miracle in Galilee. And the very mother, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, an ordinary lady, not some saint, said to the people, in the midst of a social disaster, the wine had run out, she said, do whatsoever he asks. That's my advice to you tonight. We listen to the word of God. He says, follow me. Whatever he says to you tonight in your heart, as you listen not to my words, but to his words, do whatsoever he asks of you. If he says follow, and you hear his call, like these people did, don't be distracted. Don't worry about position, or possession, or prevarication. No, you go to him. Just one more thing in verse 62. Nobody is fit for the kingdom of God. We could misunderstand that. Nobody is fit, suitable, deserving, good enough for the kingdom of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. This word means you will not be ready. You will not be prepared by Christ for the kingdom of God. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having decided he wants to follow the Lord Jesus and puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is ready." You've got to put your eyes forward. Set your eyes on Christ, who says, "Follow me." Turn from your old life. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, who promises to change lives. As many here tonight, we can testify that our life was not once what it is now. We're thankful for that. We don't hold ourselves up. We wish we could be the people that we ought to be. But we know that we're not the people that we once were, because we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's close our service this evening.